making the most of your flight review. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob is a certified flight instructor based in the Buffalo, New York area. Normally, we talk to Bob on the phone on Mondays, but as it turns out, I'm in Western New York for a family reunion, so we're able to do this face-to-face today. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, this is a special treat for me, Paul, to be sitting across the table from you as opposed to on the phone.
We're sitting here on the front porch of the Green Glen Bed and Breakfast in East Aurora, New York, so if you hear traffic noise, that's why. Bob, I wanted to talk to you about what used to be known as the Biennial Flight Review. The FAA encourages us to call it just a flight review now, hoping that we'll do it more often than biennially, something you've been pitching for a long time. I wanted to talk to you today about what makes a good flight review. I know that I'm due for one, and we're going to take care of that tomorrow, hopefully. But how do you approach this, and what should a CFI look for in a flight review, and what should a student look for?
Paul, I look at a flight review, and maybe in not quite so medical a sense, but as a six-month visit to the dentist. When I go to the dentist periodically, I don't go with anything in mind other than to have the dentist, as a trained oral professional, see if there's any problem areas in my teeth and my mouth, and then make recommendations as to what ought to be done to correct it. So when I approach a flight review with a student, I ask the student the same thing. I ask them to tell me what they believe to be their overall strengths as a pilot, what their strengths to be, and perhaps what their weaknesses are. And then I try to slip in some discussion about their weaknesses and encourage them to include those weaknesses in our particular flight review. I don't have a pre-planned agenda. I'm not looking for anything specific. I'm just trying to determine whether or not this pilot, in fact, is a safe pilot.
Now, the flight review gets an inaccurate connotation when a lot of people think about it. I know this is not the case, and yet every time I come up on one, I tend to think of it as something like a mini check ride. But it's really designed to be instruction, not as much as an evaluation. Would that be fair?
That's exactly the right interpretation. It's nothing more than what we call a checkup from the neck up, an assessment of one's flying skills. For me and flight instructors, just like everybody else, have to have their own flight reviews. And I have my own personal mentor, a trained professional pilot that I go to each time. And he and I have a chat, usually over that 1 hour required ground portion of the flight review. And we try to assess, again, what I think my weaknesses are, or the things that I'm just not doing very often. I think slow flight in particular, maneuvering the aircraft in a slow flight regime is very critical, and it's something that a lot of pilots simply have not done since their last check ride or perhaps flight review. And if we look at the accident data, we see that most of the accidents are a result of maneuvering, usually maneuvering at slow speeds in and around a traffic pattern. So that's one area that I certainly want to include. Another area that I like to include in each flight review is spin awareness. We talk about spins as part of the oral review, and then we actually go up, and if the airplane is certified for spins, we actually go into spins. But if it's not, we stall the airplane, we put in a little bit of a yaw, and we turn it into a spiral, just one or two turns so that the student can understand what that's all about. And then we do a lot of aeronautical decision making. I do a number of what ifs. What would you do in this scenario? What would you do in that scenario? But again, I allow the student to really drive the process. Let the student tell me what they believe they're weak in. And then, of course, in the conduct of this, I can get a pretty good assessment of where their strengths and weaknesses are.
Now, if you wait 2 years between flight reviews, it's very, especially if you don't fly often or don't fly in a number of different challenging conditions, is it possible to have a flight review be too short to accomplish what it needs to accomplish? In other words, and I think I know where your answer is going to be before I get into this, but if I have flown only a handful of hours in the 2 years since my last flight review, is an hour really enough, or should these things be longer?
Oh, clearly, they need to be long enough for the flight instructor to assess that the individual is not going to hurt himself or somebody else in the airplane. I had an individual come up to our flight school several months back and asked how long a flight review would be. And my first answer is, or response is, well, when was the last time you flew? And this individual said to me, well, he had last flown a B-17. And immediately I'm thinking of the commemorative Air Force or perhaps in an air show. And he was genuinely talking about B-17s out of England in 1944. And I said, sir, this flight review is going to be far more extensive than I think you think it's going to be. And we really talked frankly about the fact that it would be a whole new rating exercise. And to his credit, 85 years old, he was eager and willing to do it.
It's intriguing that we're required by the FAA to spend an hour every 2 years to do this, an hour on the ground and an hour in the air. And yet they have dropped biennial from official references to the flight review in the hopes that we will do one more often. Which would be better, a three-hour review biennially or 3 one-hour reviews scattered along the way?
Well, I like to look right at the data, and this is something that the pundits who evaluate the performance of pilots like to look at. And I compare the data between we as GA pilots and the airline industry. The airline industry has created a near zero defect in terms of accidents. And we in the GA community, we still have this deplorable 300 plus fatal accidents a year. And one way, I believe, is to improve our safety record as general aviation pilots is to emulate what the airlines are doing, starting simply as a more frequent flight review. We go to the dentist, as I mentioned earlier, every 6 months or sometimes a year. We get our airplanes annualed every 12 months. Yet 80% of the accidents out there are attributed to pilot factors, yet we allow ourselves to be reviewed only every 2 years. I really can't comment as to why this exists, other than perhaps some people believe that it might be a burden on pilots to do a review more than every 24 months. But clearly, we know that recurrent training, is the best defense against a possible accident or event in an airplane.
When we come back, Bob, I want to talk about what a pilot who's approaching a flight review can do to make it the most effective opportunity. Guest is Bob Miller. I'm Paul Plack. Back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, talking about that process called the flight review, formerly known as the biennial flight review. Bob, I am about to undergo a flight review. I think, you know, some people have butterflies, understandably approaching one. What should I be looking to prepare on my end of things to get the most bang for the buck when I go in for this process?
I think the first thing that we should be doing is choosing or selecting our flight instructor who's going to be doing the review very carefully. If you do not know the instructors in your community, ask around, check around, and then it's fair game for you to interview the instructor prior to even engaging in the flight review. And in that interview process before engaging in the flight review, get a sense that this individual is really looking out to make me a better pilot rather than to fulfill perhaps some ego needs that he may have to hold sway over the future of us pilots. I want to find an individual who seems to have a genuine interest in my personal safety as an aviator, and that should be the ground rule for determining what's included. And I'm not excited about taking students around turns on a point or S-turns on a highway or being able to masterfully recover a stall. I'm looking to see that the individual has the skills to perhaps avoid getting into those circumstances. And again, I'll go back and talk with the I as the flight instructor, talk with the student and see just what it is that that individual feels uncomfortable about, and use it more as a true example of recurrent training. And lastly, I make it a point to inform the student that this is not a test. It is not a check ride. In fact, if this flight review does not go as well as he had hoped or I had hoped, we'll simply log the time as instruction given, so that there is no evidence of so-called pass or fail.
All right, but if there is not an endorsement made, then obviously this student is going to have to go out and get one. And since we all tend to procrastinate, he's probably going to need to get one sometime this month. Is it an appropriate decision to go to a different flight instructor if it doesn't work out with the first one? Or would you encourage people to come back? I know this is probably a tough question.
This is a very tough question. There was an unfortunate incident with a couple of characters out of Smoketown, Maryland, that got involved or tangled up with the ATIS in Washington, D.C. several years ago. And I think many of us recall the specific circumstances, but we later found out that the pilot in that particular case had gone to three different flight instructors before he found one that would sign him off in order to fly legally. And the last one allegedly said, "I will sign you off if you promise never to leave our local airport," because his geographic skills and navigating skills were found wanting. And the individual promised that he would never leave the local airport, and he was the one that got involved with the Washington ATIS in a near tragedy with a couple of Black Hawk helicopters. Now, I think it's I don't know how else we can do it. If we have one instructor that is not satisfied with our performance, ideally we should work to that instructor's criteria if we can. But if it's an unresolvable difference, then, we'll go to somebody who will objectively say that our skills are satisfactory enough to fly. But, you know, to thine own self be true. I think all of us know if we're safe and if we're not safe. And we simply have to work with somebody long enough to make that assessment ourselves.
Bob, you've been critical of the process by which we evaluate accident causes, because it focuses so much on the mechanical end of things, when we know that mechanical problems are responsible for a small minority of accidents. Does the flight review process really address the things that need to be addressed here? In other words, are we having guys have fatal accidents because they don't know how to do turns around a point or navigate from airport A to airport B? Or is there enough emphasis placed on the ground part of a flight review?
Well, that really is a tough question. There are many factors. I think the fact that so few accidents, only 10%, are attributable to mechanical factors speaks to the case I'm trying to make, and that is we annual our airplanes. We inspect them carefully every 12 months. I would venture to say if we inspected our pilot skills every 12 months, even through a self-assessment, we would see a marked reduction in accidents. But there are any number of reasons why we pilots have mishaps in airplanes. I think most common is maneuvering problems. We are unable to maneuver airplanes safely at low speeds. I think aeronautical decision making really is a major factor. We make poor decisions. And then none the least of which is, frankly, poor instruction. We get on our airplanes, we pass the test, the instructor gave us just enough to satisfy the practical test standards, and then we're off on our own. And one of the most common statements made by DPEs, designated pilot examiners, is, "Here, congratulations, now you have a license to learn." Well, that can be a very expensive and painful process that could be prevented had more substance been included in the actual instruction.
Well, Bob, I look forward to my first Bob Miller flight review. I thank you for not only your views expressed today, but your continuing urging of all of us to get the kind of recurrent training that more closely emulates the guys with a good track record, which is the airline pilots, that we need to do something more than the minimum. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
You can find out more about Over the Airwaves at overtheairwaves.com. You'll also find a link there to Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.